Well, my name is Jody Case, and I'm with Texas AgriLife Research, and I'm the watershed coordinator for the Lake Granberry Watershed Protection Plan. Let's see, just to give you a little bit, just a quick background on Lake Granberry, it was completed back in 1969. I think it filled up the following year. Lake Granberry has a lot of man-made canals. So to increase lakefront property, there were a lot of canals built. And these canals are often very shallow. There's not a lot of interaction between the main body of the lake and the canals. So the water that enters there and the contaminants enter there have a tendency to stay there. And the man-made canals are kind of, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Just a little bit about Hood County. It's a county that's growing. It's about 50,000 people in there as of the last census. Some of the projections have it in the next 20 years doubling in size, anywhere from 80 to 100,000 people. Around the lake, 74% of the subdivisions around this lake were built before 1989. And that's important because 1989 was the year that rules went into effect regarding septic systems and the type of soils that you could place them in. 86% of the subdivisions around the lake rely on septic systems, and that means there's about 9,000 or so septic systems around the lake. And so I've already said septic system several times, and there's a reason for that. Even going back to the early 1990s, there were some studies done that indicated high amounts of fecal coliform in those canals. Like I said, there's not a lot of mixing goes on. So the septic systems that are located on a lot of these canals, they're not maintained properly, the runoff into the canals. Another study showed that a lot of the soils around the lake not well suited to having septic tanks and absorption fields. That your leach fields is where all the treatment occurs in a septic tank. It doesn't happen in the tank itself. That just collects some solids. Treatment happens in the soil. If you don't have the right type of soil, you don't get really good treatment, and so you end up with high bacteria in the canals. In the early 2000s, the BRA started a pretty large-scale monitoring program, going out every month and collecting bacteria in quite a few of the canals and coves. So jump ahead about end of 2005, 2006, the Watershed Protection Plan process was started. The first stakeholders meeting, I believe, was in March of 06. And just last year was when the report was finally approved by the EPA. And the parameter of concern is E. coli. The stakeholders developed a numeric goal of having a geometric mean of 53, so that's a little more than half of what the state criteria is. The lake itself is not impaired for bacteria. The main body of the lake is not exhibiting high bacteria. It's only in these canals. But the community around the lake were very concerned, obviously. A lot of them, that's where their boat docks are and their kids or their grandkids go swimming in it. So there was a lot of concern. And that's why this whole process was started. So the sources, as I mentioned, failing septic tanks, and that's really probably the biggest culprit. A lot of the lots are undersized. So when the lots were first drawn up, back in the early 70s, they were really small. Maybe they had a single wide trailer that was used on the weekends by somebody. Well, now somebody's come in and put a double or a triple wide trailer. It's barely enough room to fit the house on there, much less have a appropriate sized drain field. So a lot of problem with septic tanks. Other problems through watershed protection plan, a lot of studies were done, pet waste, livestock, and then other animals, ducks, geese, feral hogs. But the septic tanks were the main one. In some canals and coves, high bacteria was seen, and these were in newer subdivisions where there are not a lot of septic tanks, and so those were attributed to other things, but mainly septic tanks is the big issue. The watershed protection plan came up with some management measures, and these are them kind of prioritized out. First was to obtain a watershed coordinator, and a grant was obtained last year, and I came on, started working towards the first of this year. Regional wastewater collection and treatment was kind of seen as one of the major goals, is to get these people off of septic systems and onto some type of wastewater collection system. To do that, you got to get some money. So one of the management measures is to pursue funding to do community education and outreach, because regional wastewater collection systems are expensive to do, especially around a lake and hilly areas. It's not just installing pipe and having it, you know, gravity fed. There's a lot of lift stations that have to go in. Because that's going to be a long-term goal, community education outreach is going to be is a key component. And so getting out, talking with people, telling them stuff that they can do right now that can help reduce the bacterial load into the canals. And then working with the county health department, trying to get to support some activities that they can do as far as record keeping, requiring pump out records of holding tanks. I'm working with HOAs where they can develop rules that maybe where they have to consult with the county health department. You know, if somebody is building a building or making an addition. And then the last one was improved cove circulation. That is one of the management measures, but that was kind of at the bottom of the list. The stakeholders felt that didn't really address the bacterial load. You're just moving it out into the main part of the lake. So those are the management measures. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of these a little more in detail. Wastewater collection, they kind of prioritize several of the different areas around the lake, a lot of the different subdivisions. And the top three were the Oak Trail Shores, Sky Harbor, and then Port Ridgely East. And the reason these are prioritized the highest was there was existing infrastructure around them. So because of the cost of putting in a wastewater collection system, they thought, well, if there's already nearby infrastructure, then that's going to be a little bit lower, so let's move that to the top of the list. In fact, the Acton Municipal Utility District has already secured two different grants. And these grants are in the range of $250,000 to $350,000. If you know anything about, you know, installing pipe and wastewater collection system, that doesn't go very far. But they were community development block grants through the Office of Rural Affairs, and they were able to hook people up, low-income people. It only applied to people that made under a certain amount of money. And if you made over that amount, if you wanted to be hooked up to the sewer system, then you had to pay for it yourself. And these were a low-pressure grinder pump system, so it's kind of expensive. It's not just, you know, running a pipe out and hooking.
What'd they hook
up
it up to? There's no sewer plant there.
There is down on.
Oh, I see.
It goes into the act to AMUD's system. Okay. So
they did a few years back run a sewer main down kind of to that area. They were closed, and then now they're kind of going into the subdivision. As they can, yeah. And then tacking on and adding more and more. They have a five-phase plan
Yeah, they said they think about five phases, and they should have just finished up the second phase right about now, so.
This isn't a real big area either. There's a lot of properties in jammed in a real small space. Yeah. So that's what 250 is actually doing something in that area.
Like I said, getting people on a sewer system, that's, you know, but that might be 15 or 20 years out. Especially right now with budgets the way they are, the city and other utility districts are very hesitant about taking on loans, and so, you know, they're really hoping that there's a grant that will free up and they can do all this work. But that's probably not going to happen. Grants are pretty hard to come by. So, in the meantime, education outreach is going to be essential in the implementation process. So doing outreach events to schools, civic organizations, workshops where we might do a septic maintenance workshop where people can come and they can find out about this septic tank. A lot of the people that live around the lake are retirees, and they're coming out of the Metroplex, and they've never owned a house that had a septic system or an aerobic treatment unit. And so there's just a knowledge gap that we're trying to fill. We do a bi-monthly newsletter that goes out to our stakeholders. The Chamber of Commerce has been nice to send it out, one of their flash emails that they send out. So that goes out to 1,200 business leaders in the community. We do articles in the newspaper, just talking about issues in the watershed, what people can do. Public service announcements on local radio. There's a website where people can go. It's got resources available to them, a lot of Texas AgriLife publications. The message, first of all, we're trying to define to the people the value of water quality, getting them to understand that water quality is important. And I think a really good way to do that, especially for the people that are around the lake, is tying water quality with money, that as water quality decreases, property values decrease, tax revenue decreases. And that's something that people can think, okay, this does affect me. Because I've talked to people and they say, well, I live in a subdivision. It's a new subdivision. We don't have problems. We're on the sewer. Why should I be concerned about what goes on in Oak Trail Shores or something like that? Well, trying to convince them that might be true out your back door, you're not having the bacteria problems, but it's kind of a perception of water quality as a whole for Lake Granbury. People that are coming in that are wanting to buy a house or just come in to enjoy the lake, they don't know all the specific areas where there's problems and where there's not. They just know that they've heard that there's problems with this lake and that there's bacteria problems. So getting people to realize that it's not just a problem that's over there, it's your problem as well. So defining the problem, so you tell them, okay, we have a valuable resource in this lake, and keeping the water quality up is beneficial, but we have a problem. Convincing them that there is a problem, that it's bacteria contamination. And most people are pretty willing to accept that. So, okay, well, we have something that we know we want to protect. We have a problem. What can we do? And you start talking about the solutions. And the solutions are mainly, enhanced infrastructure, whether that be, getting everybody on sewer or even just getting people to have their septic tanks inspected and pumped out periodically. Those things once they're in the ground, you forget about them. They've got to be maintained.
How about replacing them with the other septic?
And there was a grant that was secured by the county to do some of that. It's kind of funny. You go to people and say, we got this money, and we want to give you, either a new septic system or if you can't put one in, an aerobic treatment unit. There were a lot of people that said no. They thought there's no such thing as free money. If I do this, somehow the government's going to be snooping around. And so they had quite a few people decline, and it was hard to spend all that money. So so there is some there's been, you know, some hesitation. Even that the grant that AMUD got to hook people up, there AMUD got some backlash from people because you're only giving out you're hooking up some people and not other people. And so their board of directors has been a little bit more hesitant about going after future grants that they, I think they are going to this next one, but it kind of depends on how much more backlash they get. Once you define the solution, then you just kind of tell people, here are things that you can do, you know, around your house or around your little farm or ranchette. This is what you can do. And then just some of the topics that we're going to be hitting over the next couple of years. Septic tank maintenance, we're just going to hit that over and over again. Picking up after your pet. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said he would watch his neighbors. They just shovel it up and then toss it into the canal. And he said it was a place that's kind of a little puppy mill, so they got like five or six dogs, you know, that they just, you know, so the canal is not your trash can kind of thing. So don't feed the ducks. It seems kind of silly, but there are times in certain coves where there are a lot of ducks, and those ducks do their business in those canals. And but some people are all about it because they don't like those ducks crawling up on their docks and pooping all over them. So, but then a lot of people like to sit out there and feed the ducks. And then we'll do rain barrel, rain garden stuff, anything to help reduce runoff, which reduces, you know, transport of the bacteria into the canals. And then, you know, kind of sum it up, I tell you, you can't swim in a plan. The watershed protection plan is great. It only, defines strategies. It identifies opportunities. It doesn't guarantee participation. So keeping the stakeholders engaged in the process. We kind of had a little, about a year of a letdown between the time the plan was kind of finalized and sent off before it got approved. It's a little bit over a year, and stakeholders have already kind of fallen off. So trying to get them back into the process and keep the momentum going is going to be key. So any questions about anything? Nope. All right.
Member is about full now. Does that help flush the canals?
When we get the big rain events like they had, it does, but most of the time, even if it's full, they still do not
flow.
Circulate well with the lake, and we did dye studies to document that. When you get a big monster flush like we had a week or two ago, yeah, it'll usually flush them out, but otherwise it just kind of sits there.
Yeah, they're totally man-made, so that, you know, the runoff is just, it's not there like you get in a creek coming in where there's a cove, so. Thank you.